What's better than listening to Capes and Scales podcast? Listening to Capes and Scales podcast and then listening to Superliminal Films over at superliminalfilms.com, a member of the Capes and Scales podcast family.
There was a firefight!
Killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000.
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Cowabunga!
This is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome, everyone, to Capes and Scowls.
How is everybody?
Hopefully they're well.
I hope they're well, too.
They also can't respond back to what you just asked.
How are you? Why won't you answer me?
Stop shaking the mic.
Alright. I don't know if that even made noise. Probably did. It probably did.
I probably
edited it down to less horrible. You're welcome. We have that kind of relationship. Fictitious audience.
Well, we're back. We're back in the biggest way, making a reappearance.
If you're curious as to where we were, check out Minisode number 2. It's just easier than me explaining it all over again.
It is so true.
It's a very informative 17 minutes or so
of
information. It's a good listen. Please listen to it.
Please do.
Who are you?
It is very important, actually. You may cry.
You may cry. But only because you sat on your balls. It's a David Tell joke. Anyways, episode 4. Of course, our website is capesandscowlspodcast.com. You can email us at capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. And we're on the Facebook there.
Yeah, we are.
Facebook's a little different than our website. That's where you go if you want to get news and that kind of
funny shit.
Informative, yeah, funny stuff. We put that up on the Facebook, not the main site. Mm-hmm. Main site's where you get all the content.
Yes.
Shoved in your face.
Right.
Like you're a bad dog.
Bad dog. And, you know, on Facebook, you can go anywhere to get news all the time, and you can choose to go other places, and we're okay with that. We want to provide you with what we can.
We try to go to those same places and make a nice condensed version of it. A palpable, swallowable capsule is what our Facebook is.
That's true. We're not, may not be the most timeliest person in the entire universe.
Maybe not.
But you can get your news from us.
I put up news I don't give two shits about.
That's right.
If I feel like it's in our wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse, yeah. So if you have a friend, and that friend says, oh, this news story happened like last week, then why do you care? You know what? Fuck them.
Yeah,
we don't care about
that
them. That guy is a horrible person.
Them.
They should just be happy for you knowing stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're informed. You're in the know.
That's it. Whether it be a week late or not does not matter.
Also, if you're that guy and you're listening, I'm sorry.
we care
don't
about
hate
you.
Us. Don't hate
we
us.
We care about you, too.
We just... I'm sorry we scolded you. We'll hug it out later.
We'll hug it out.
So, other than that and the insanities we've talked about in the Minisode 2, anything else exciting going on, Leanne, or anything to speak of, really?
Not really, actually. I mean, life's just good. I mean, I can't complain. I got an awesome roommate right now. And
got a car show across the street.
I got a car show right across the street.
Fancy car show.
It's nice to be able to just look out the window and see an entire car show of, like, what, classics and souped up cars.
Yeah,
that's a word on the street, the urban word, souped up.
Souped up, eh?
It's been
the
nice.
The urban youth.
The urban
souped up.
Exactly. So now that we're back after hiatus, we have a ton of comics to look
there's
at.
A good amount to talk about.
And
yes.
There's news.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things. So let's just, I guess, jump right into
you
it.
You want to jump in?
Yeah, all why right. not?
Well, I don't have a ton of news, but I got some good news, I feel.
All right.
We'll start with some comic news. Justice League is going to get a new artist starting on issue number 36. And apparently, I forgot to write down his name. That really hurts the story.
But he's coming.
He's coming.
Don't you worry. You continue. I'll look it up. Please continue.
It's so fucking great.
Oh, jeez.
This is why you don't do the news on your first cup of coffee while watching a toddler who is, in fact, watching cartoons that are kind of interesting. Yes. You want to know how that turns out.
Yes. I'll look up the artist's name and you continue.
Well, we'll start with a different story then. Actually, how would you feel as an artist following Jim Lee and all these other people that have been working on Justice League and gave it that amazing look? This guy has a similar style, I guess, but it's like you're following a grade of comics. It's like, how do you do that? You just fucking do it, I guess. And there's so many horrible fucking artists out there. Jason Fabok? Fabok, F-A-B-O-K. We're always terrible with pronouncing names. He will be your new artist. In the news story, he did say he was very excited to get a midnight call from Geoff Johns. Like, hey, you want to draw my book?
Nice.
So I'd be shitting a brick right then. I'd be like, yeah, I'll draw your fucking book.
Right, it's pretty epic. It's pretty.
I think I'd forget how to draw instantly with that phone call. I'd be like, oh, you want to make me a name. All
right. Right.
You trust me enough to follow one of the greats.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
That's pretty
good,
awesome.
Good for you, Jason Fabok.
Yeah, he'll have a good chance to really shine. And I'll look at it and see if I like it. You know how I am about artists, though.
Don't worry, your roommate gets this book. Just steal his.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll steal his.
Just steal his.
Okay.
Save yourself some effort.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Schuster.
So that should be a good thing. And hopefully the book continues to be strong. A lot of people raving about it. Another book, I did not write this down, but I did read this. A lot of people are raving about the Future's End storyline that's going on with DC.
Mm.
That weekly story that takes place in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
A few years. And it's kind of like, everybody's kind of hyping it that it might reset the New 52 when all is said and done. I don't know if I'm against it or for it. But the big reveal, there's a character in there that's been flying around in a Superman suit kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-body suit, and he has a helmet, and you can't see his face.
Ah.
Which led a lot of people to speculate it's probably a character you know, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
They've just revealed who it was.
Oh, boy.
And turns out the future Superman with the motorcycle-looking helmet over his head is, in fact, Shazam.
What?
Shazam revealed himself to Lois Lane, who we eerily knew. It was weird. Yeah, there's a lot of things people are speculating on with this book.
Okay.
He got the living crap kicked out of him,
mm-hmm.
turned back into Billy Batson, who was not a kid, a little older.
Okay.
A little older.
A little bit.
A little bit, and revealed himself to Lois Lane, and in the midst of that, the real Superman came back.
What?
Is the real Superman some super colossal douchebag?
Probably.
You know, in current continuity and timeline, he is still with Wonder Woman, so he's not with Lois Lane. Was Billy Batson with Lois Lane? So there's a lot of romantic intrigue and possibility on this story.
So wait, you're saying that Lois Lane is officially a cougar?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know if... I don't know her age. Everyone's immortal in these books. I don't know. But we'll call her a cougar. Absolutely. Absolutely tap that mythological 40-year-old ass, right?
That's awesome.
Yes. So, that's that story. I like that... I'm very, very picky with events of that magnitude.
Yes.
DC rolled the dice initially on 52, the mm-hmm. Series 52, and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They followed it up with Countdown, which was absolute garbage.
Mm.
There, for every little bit I enjoyed, there's so much else I hated. I think the best part of it was the two Rogues characters, the Trickster or Toy Man or whatever, and the Rat Dude, the Pied Piper.
Okay.
And that was intriguing because they ended up handcuffed to each other, running from like Suicide Squad and shit, and they're assholes. You have to remember they're assholes. Mm. The Rogues don't necessarily like each other. They always work together. Pied Piper was a sellout, and he was giving info to the Flash and to the Star City Police and things like that. So Toy Man, or was it Toy Man or Trickster? I always confuse the two.
Right.
Well, he was kind of pissed off about it. Turns out, Pied Piper is an openly gay character. So they went the route of, I hate you, and who you are with this character, they're tied, they have to work together to live.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, he became very accepting of who he was, saw who he was, because in that kind of scenario, you're learning everything about this guy, whether you like it or not. So he actually, they actually teased there was going to be a romance with them by the end of it, which was going to happen till somebody bit the bullet. Then you're dragging around a dead body. So, emotionally.
Huh, interesting.
It was one of the weirdest things, but I actually really, out of all of it, I identified with that the most. I'm like, this is the best little part of a story that we're following all these characters. This is the best. Yeah, huh. I think it's great. You have Donna Troy and Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, and the Red Hood all bombing around the universe, but I don't really care, because they're not really doing a fucking thing. But to get back to the tirade, now Batman Eternal is going at the same time as Future's End, and everybody's kind of like, they're not bad, they're okay, blah, blah, blah. Scott Snyder writing Batman Eternal, all these people writing Future's End. It's nice to see it start paying off.
Okay.
If this is the best moment of the series, I'm sorry that I said it was paying off, but... you know, it's good to have an event of such great magnitude. You don't want to buy a book every single fucking week for a year and have it crap out on
nothing.
You.
Right.
And so hopefully this isn't just this thing that DC goes to. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're really doing massive stories, because I can reread 52 right now and be just as happy as I was when I first read it.
Okay.
So hopefully that's where we're going with that.
All right.
Now let's move on to some video game stuff, because we don't really talk about video games too much. It's a Nintendo thing.
Nice.
Mario Kart 8. Its first downloadable content is going to make it $1 billion.
Okay.
Because you're getting 3 new characters, 4 new vehicles, and 8 new courses. The courses were not revealed. Only one vehicle was revealed, which is the Blue Falcon from F-Zero.
Huh. No
But way. The 3 characters were revealed.
Oh, boy.
Tanuki Mario, whatever it is, the little raccoon dude. However you say it.
Yep.
A cat version of Peach, which was just like the newest one. But most importantly, Link from A Legend of Zelda is a playable character. Released with a picture of him zooming around on a motorcycle.
No
with
way.
The little Triforce on the side.
Nice. Nice.
I was pretty excited, and I don't even have Mario Kart.
Right.
So
right.
I like that. I mean, why not? Why the hell not?
Yeah, why not? Should have been there a long time ago.
Yeah, man, you've got all these characters interacting in Smash Brothers and these other games.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just have... Why not? You're making money off of that.
It
so,
makes sense, yeah.
The download will cost you $7.99, I believe it is, nice. For all of that. Seems relatively fair.
Courses alone.
Courses, 8 courses. Mm-hmm. Even if it's rehashed courses from other games, who gives a shit?
Yeah, no one cares.
It's somewhere else to play. Exactly. Mario Kart is the same game it's always been.
Yes. Yes.
Very little. There's always like one change, and you're playing the same fucking game.
Right. You always hate the flying turtle that hits a first place person every single time.
Blue turtle shell, bitch. So there is that story.
Nice.
Doctor Doom news from the new Fantastic Four movie, and I'm sure.
Wait, there's a new Fantastic Four movie?
Yes, it's being worked on.
Okay.
The Ultimate Universe is kind of what it looks like. A lot of people are mad about it for a lot of reasons. One being the Human Torch is black. A lot of people are mad about that.
I think I remember
because
a little
Sue
bit about
Storm
this.
Isn't, but their brother and sister.
Oh, gosh. That's horrible.
This goes back to our whole thing as, are we racist if we want them to look exactly like they look in the book?
Oh, that's
no,
painful.
We're not. Yes. It could end up being a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but I this is the kind of picture release from a set that I feel like people are going to be like, oh, this is garbage, garbage. And maybe it is, but hate it for the right reasons, okay?
Right.
I don't hate this movie for these pics.
Okay.
Dr. Doom looked like complete ass in these pictures. That being said, it's in front of a green screen, fighting a guy with, like, Hulk hands on, who I'm assuming is the thing in the green screen, because he's completely CGI'd in this movie.
Okay, makes sense. Oh, nice.
He looked very... His armor looked organic. It wasn't, like, his regular
like
armor.
Like, part of his body.
The hood and the cape, everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked very weird. I don't know that it's necessarily Doom that they released. It could possibly be a Doom bot.
Sure.
There's
sure.
a lot of rumors of Doom bots being in the movie. So,
makes sense.
As a Doom bot, I'm thrilled with how that looks.
Okay.
As Dr. Doom himself, no, I would not be. But even though... this could end up being, and I don't think this, but this could end up being, like, the greatest Fantastic Four movie ever.
Sure.
If I'm only mad about how Doctor Doom looks, that would be great.
Yeah, true, true, true.
But a lot of people are just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I'll watch it, definitely, because I didn't like the last Fantastic Four, so I was hoping for something better.
The people in the last Fantastic Four didn't like the last Fantastic Four.
Right.
There was an article I was reading about Jessica Alba was like, I don't even know if I want to keep acting after this movie. It's so bad.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Well, I wonder who they get for Invisible Woman this time around, because it has to be
all of that's been announced.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. Right, they're so you know. Mostly unknowns. I don't remember her name.
Mostly unknowns. Okay.
Or lesser
actors.
The only one I actually know from a movie is the guy playing the Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a movie my son likes called Chronicle, which is like that aliens kidnapping people. I don't know. I did not watch it.
I've seen
him watch it 1,000 times, so I'm like aware of it.
Right.
It's the same director, which is why he picked the guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But still.
Yeah, black.
Human Torch isn't black.
And again, if he was black, then everyone needs to be black, because it doesn't make sense.
I'm just like, can we just make Sue Storm black too then?
Right, because at least make
now
Sue
that
Storm.
Would be awesome.
That would
if
be
they
awesome.
Were both black.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, now we have interracial marriages.
Yeah.
You know what?
Franklin.
We need. I changed my mind. We need to petition to get Sue Storm black as well.
If we did that, then I think we'd be okay. We would actually be okay.
I would be fine.
It
with
would
that.
Change all the dynamics.
Sure.
As long as they don't like. Then Human Torch is gay.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? And it's almost like. My argument of I want them to look as close as possible, I kind of got that with the other movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jessica Alba isn't quite exactly it,
no.
But she's close enough. You know, she didn't have, like, purple hair or anything.
Right.
So I would actually welcome Black Sue Storm to go with Black Johnny Storm.
Yeah, I think
so,
fantastic. Too. I think it would be actually
it would
be
so
awesome.
Cool.
It would actually be really cool.
Have Franklin born at the end of the movie. Uh-huh,
uh-huh.
Are you listening to me, Chronicle guy? Can you CGI that in? When that happens, we're going to shit a brick.
And we will.
We probably will go see this movie the name of this podcast. In the name of it.
Yes.
All
right, well, that's good to know. So Dr. Doom may be a little weird looking.
He might
but
be.
Hopefully it's just a Doombot.
I hope. If it's a Doombot,
it's
thrilled.
It's awesome.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, moving forward, Robert Downey Jr. was quoted to say something pretty interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's. I'm sure this quote has been taken out of context a lot.
Because
all the ads... It was on all the news sites, and all I saw, and it was like, oh, that's not exactly what he said when you read the actual quote. He's quoted as saying that Guardians of the Galaxy is the best Marvel movie ever. But that's not quite what he said. It's the idea. The actual quote is, Guardians of the Galaxy, in some ways, right there already, it's
mm-hmm.
not what he said,
mm-hmm.
is the best Marvel movie ever. And it's odd for someone with, on occasion, an ego the size of mine to actually say that.
Nice. That was nice of him.
And then, this isn't a direct quote, but this is like the gist of everything else. He basically was saying that he loves that in the universe created from Iron Man, Cap, Thor, all these known titles, that basically a third-tier book can shine
mm-hmm.
and catch everyone's attention and imagination like Guardians of the Galaxy did.
Oh, Robert.
And that's fantastic, because if you ask me, I would say the first Iron Man and Guardians of the Galaxy and maybe Cap 2
mm-hmm.
are your best Marvel movies.
Yeah. Well,
and
outside of Avengers.
Yeah.
Because Avengers really is its own...
Well, okay, let me clarify more. I guess, for me, a movie that does more for all the other movies in all the universe as a whole. Did Avengers really do anything for the others? No, it was great. But it didn't do anything, really, for everyone else. Cap 2 did its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It added... It did great things for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, definitely.
Amazing things that I've never seen done between movie... For film and TV working
right.
together like that
right.
is fantastic.
Yeah, but no, the movie set the tone for everything else. Because everyone's aware of aliens. Everyone's aware of Avengers. And it's talked about through everything. Like, everything's known now because the Avengers happened.
Yes. But now you have Guardians that does not take place on Earth.
Right.
And it's like, all of a sudden, we have this great movie, but we're all of a sudden it's like, hey, look over here. We're going to talk about these Infinity Gems we keep alluding to. And that movie did so much for the end result of where this is going,
mm-hmm.
which has to be Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet.
Sure, but Thanos showed up in Avengers.
And he showed up in Guardians. But he didn't do anything in Avengers.
Right, he was at the very end, and he started the whole... Avengers started the whole chain reaction of everything that happened afterwards. If Avengers didn't happen, Guardians would suck completely.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely, Guardians would have had no steam.
Right.
And probably no one would have seen it. Probably
right.
just children who don't understand where everything's
they
going.
They would just like to see a raccoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Groot's funny.
Yeah.
I'm gonna carve my tree to look like that.
Right.
Grooting. But I love that he said this, despite whatever everyone feels one way or the other.
Yes.
I like that he acknowledged it. I like that he said it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Iron Man, the first Iron Man, and Guardians are probably the top two.
Hmm.
I get a lot of arguments. Yes, I loved Cap 2. I think it's third.
Right, right.
And Avengers is like fourth for me.
What?
As great as it was, that's where it is.
That's so funny. Well, you know, we haven't talked about this, but you know I don't really care for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we did not talk about
it. Right.
I loved Guardians. So I did love Guardians.
We can talk about that another time.
We can, because we can go in depth on that.
Yeah.
So we will go into movie roundup one of these days.
Yes.
Now, here's another spoiler, and this was really cool, and I may go pick this issue up,
because
I did not. Original Sins.
Right.
Number 5.
Yeah.
That just wrapped, the mini-series, 5-issue mini. I almost picked it up, and I'm so mad I didn't, because the Hood is on the cover, and I love the character of the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
He's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Has that whole demonic possession side of him as well.
Isn't he a Hemogoblin?
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Okay.
It's just... I didn't keep following him after New Avengers much, but I knew Dramu was involved and all this other shit.
Okay.
I'm actually hunting those back issues so I can understand it a little better.
Interesting.
I have like half of them. But anyways, I like the Hood as a character, and he's part of this, but he's actually not the important part of this story. Spoiler is there's a character death that you wouldn't expect. Dum-Dum Dugan.
Mm-hmm.
From S.H.I.E.L.D. and the old Howling Commandos and everything. He appears in this issue, and if you put it in chronological sense to Original Sin, when Nick Fury is interrogating the orb in the space station,
all right,
that's when this takes place. He actually walks in on him torturing the orb, pretty much.
So he was up there.
Yes. And, Fury reveals that he's been dead since 1966.
Dum-Dum?
Dum-Dum has been dead. He died with Fury on a mission. He is actually a live model decoy.
No way.
Which S.H.I.E.L.D. has always used.
Uh-huh.
It's part of their canon.
Yeah.
I was happy that they did this in that respect. They've been using robot decoy kind of... You can't even tell.
Yeah.
In the Marvel continuity.
Right,
you would be one I would have no idea.
Right.
So, but he's, you know, aware of himself, and he's, you know, living his life, and, like, he's still human, but he's not actually organically human.
Wow.
So he reveals to him that he's been dead, and when he sees what Fury's become, and the torturing and everything, he actually destroys himself. Doesn't want anything to do with it anymore.
Wow.
He actually sees another version of himself in the background somewhere, and he's like, hey, there's another one of me. He's like, I can't deal with this shit, basically. Fury, you've lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. So, the reveal that he died years ago, and every appearance of him since has been this live model decoy.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, I want nothing to do with all of this, when he learns the horrible truth.
Yep.
I thought that was fantastic. It made a little buzz. I mean, he's a classic Marvel character. Jack Kirby made him all the way back in the day. And he's a huge part of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
For a book that just kind of is like tying up loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, does anybody care what happened to Howard the Duck? Here's what happened to him. This is the book you read for that. And I do love that Marvel always lets you know what's going on with Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Every event.
I do appreciate that.
Civil War being the best. Where he tried to register, and they did, and they did not acknowledge him as a hero. It was fantastic.
That's great.
So one last news story, and it's more of a blurb.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel has variant covers announced for October, and what they're doing is it's teaming up with Hasbro, the toy company, to recreate certain classic covers with action figures on the cover.
Huh.
Sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
They don't look bad at all.
Okay.
But what's even better is I'm sure people are going to clamor for this. Those toys that they created for these covers, people are going to want them.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they are awesome. And they only revealed a couple of them. There's going to be at least 10 books that are going to have these variant covers.
Okay.
I don't know if these toys have existed. I don't believe they have.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they haven't, where can I get one?
Because they're fantastic. I want it now.
So you know people are going to ask for this. Hopefully they can get it. The ones that were revealed on these covers, now, there was an X-Men book. They were recreating Uncanny, I think it's like 201 or something like that, where it's Storm with her mohawk and her punk rock looking getup fighting yes. Cyclops on the cover. It's actually the first cameo of Baby Nathan, which becomes Cable.
Nice.
So they recreated that. Another one was Deathlok, an amazing looking toy of Deathlok. And then the comic version of Star-Lord.
Mm.
If it was just the movie version, I would have said, oh, that toy's probably out right now.
Right.
But it's the comic version. Looks fantastic. Huh. So it's just a cool little thing. Variants are all the fucking rage.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Me too, actually.
I hate variants.
Me too.
I will pick them up if I like the art. Like, there's no other reason for you to pick up a variant unless you like the art.
Yes.
Or if you're speculating on what happens in the issue, if it's significant, and if it'll hold value.
Right.
That is the only way. But even if it's a $100 variant cover of the first appearance of Joe Schlub the character, does anybody like Joe Schlub the character enough to pay whatever you think that book is worth?
Right, right.
Probably not.
Mm-mm.
So, that is my little soapbox on variant covers. Fuck them. And that is it for the news. I don't know why I got all twisty with my neck. I got all that attitude in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you like to talk about comics, or what would you like to do first, sir?
Well, let's do comics.
What? All right.
Let's do comics.
We'll save that.
Yeah, we'll save that. We can save that for this, this, and this.
Sure. So, you have a ton of stuff. Why don't you start?
Somewhere?
Yeah. Okay. Wherever you want to start, start.
All right, I will start with the all-new X-Factor. I'm glad I stayed on X-Factor.
Still. And I didn't.
Yep, you did not. it's exactly what Lou described it as last time that we talked, in terms of it's just a really good book with drama and action, and love interests, and everything you want out of a drama series is in this book right here. Like, this could be an HBO series special
In action dramedy?
Yes, action dramedy. it's funny, it's good, character development is really good. This is the first time that Warlock in this episode, this issue, which is issue number 12, it should already be a TV show.
Sure.
Where Warlock actually was, like, a normal character. Like, all right, okay, I can get... This is, like, my first warming up to him as a potential real character.
Don't do it.
It was sad.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it was a trap. But Danger and Warlock, something's starting to happen, so I'm happy about that.
Awesome.
So we'll see what happens. And it's just, like, he's, like, the innocent little machine kid that just doesn't know how to address his feelings.
Oh, little machine kid.
You'll be a real boy one day. Yes. Anyways, Quicksilver makes two huge announcements in this book, issue number 12, so worth looking at. And in general, even though I didn't see it coming, this book was pretty much all about Quicksilver.
Really?
Big events happen for Quicksilver in this book. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about the development. So pick it up. It's worth it. And this is spoiler alert, because I need to know the answer to this question.
Okay.
Who is Quicksilver's ex-wife that they had a kid with?
Was it Crystal?
I thought it was Crystal. I thought it was, too. I wasn't sure, but it is.
I think it is.
We both think the same thing. So
it probably is.
It probably is.
It is now. Fact.
It is now fact. That's all I had a question about.
Okay.
You'll have to figure out the rest on your own when you read the issue.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So I'll do another one that you haven't read. And then we'll go to the ones that you have read.
Okay.
The Punisher versus Thunderbolts.
Yeah, man. How's that wrapping up?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. It's really good. I mean, I love the cover, actually, on this one.
The cover's great.
Yeah. It's basically Elektra and Punisher are sharing a milkshake at a malt shop. And underneath the table, Punisher has a gun pointed at her, and she has her sigh pointed at him.
And it's that's the regular goddamn cover, goddamn it.
It's the regular cover.
And I love the font of the words, looking old-timey and 50s diner-ish. It's fantastic.
So basically, if you haven't been keeping up, Punisher was let go off the team. And, well, he actually quit, right? Mm. And then, but the Red Hulk, Thunderbolt Ross, would not allow him to quit, so he killed him. But turns out he couldn't kill him so well. So now he's back for vengeance, saying basically that this team should have never been formed, and these people are way too powerful, and they all need to die.
Wow.
So he's on a vengeance to kill all of them. He took out Ghost Rider last time. He took out Deadpool already. He took out the leader, Red Leader.
Which sounds really difficult to do.
Yes. Okay, he took out, does that mean he killed?
No, I get you.
Yeah,
I get you.
Supposedly he killed the Red Leader. Like that looked like a death.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly he couldn't kill Deadpool, but he dealt with him. Ghost Rider, you're gonna be shocked when you see what happened.
Okay.
So Johnny Blaze and Ghost Rider, that's all I can
say.
Sure. And then Elektra, despite everything, he is unable to do anything about Elektra.
Really? Of all of them?
Because they're in love.
Oh.
They've been in love the entire time. Mm. They've been in a thing. Not in love, but they've been in a thing the entire time.
Punisher found love.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's good. This issue was so good.
Yeah.
In talking about love and his version of love and what's been going on through his mind throughout this entire relationship situation.
Interesting.
He's like, as soon as they met Elektra, like, she had so many, because she's a great martial artist. Like, she's amazing. And he's like, I don't think I'll ever be able to figure her out. Like, just figure her out. Like, where she's coming from, how she learned all her abilities. And he was like, it would take a lifetime to figure this out. And he's like, but I'm willing to spend a lifetime figuring it out. I almost cried a little bit.
You know, that's something that they never really try, is love for the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
They never really try it.
No, but they did it out. They did it, and they did a good job this one. So, yeah, pick it up, or don't pick it up yet and wait for the hardcover, because I know they're doing their own hardcover of this.
Nice.
So, it's really good.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Let's jump into stuff you know. Hulk versus Iron Man from Original Sin. So what are your thoughts? I'll start with you first.
As a whole. I loved the idea of this story, written by Kieron Gillen. He's really good. The idea of there being multiple layers of sins that are learned, basically. The fact, and I mean, this will spoiler laden, you know, the Hulk is trying to kill Iron Man. He's trying to beat the living piss out of Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because he feels he caused the bomb that created him to go off.
Right.
And it's debatable whether that's true or not as you're reading the book. And you find out that that's the thing. Drunk Tony Stark. We're revisiting drunk douchebag young Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Which, does that even add up to the timeline? Who the fuck can figure it out anymore? Who the fuck cares?
No one.
Basically, Tony Stark actually made the bomb safer.
Yep.
And he doesn't want him to know he did it, basically.
Right.
The Hulk, as Bruce Banner, was very animate about putting a lot of shielding on the bomb, making it not as dangerous.
Right, that was the attempt.
And he was doing it so that he could get funding to use gamma in other ways that would help humanity, not just be a bomb.
Right.
Which, I like that little addition, because they never really talk about it. I'm like, he's a scientist. He's building a bomb. Is he building a... Why would he? You know, whatever. Because he wasn't like, I'm out for me, I'm out for money, I'm buying a house, me and Betty Ross are going to go... No, they never do that.
Right.
It's just like, oh, he's poor schlub, blown up in a bomb.
Yeah.
You find out by adding all the shielding to the bomb, he actually made the bomb more compact in a way that the explosion would have been far deadlier.
Right.
So, drunk Tony Stark, with his 1940s cell phone?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, although Marvel in your continuity.
Right. Well, he's Iron Man. He can. He sure. built it way before anyone else had it.
Exactly. But he actually tampers with the bomb and makes it safe.
Yes.
To where it's not as dangerous as a bomb.
Right. Yep. Yep. But still, he said that there are elements of this bomb that would make organic matter transform. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't get it. I just know that I've seen this around somewhere. But he's like, you are the master of this stuff. You should check out the bomb and figure it out, because I'm sure you can figure out what this thing is that seems to transform organic matter.
So pretty much, if Tony Stark had went up to Bruce Banner and said that to his face, the Hulk would not have happened.
That's true.
He sent him an email that angry Bruce Banner just deleted.
Delete it. Because Tony Stark was being a douchebag the entire time.
The entire time.
So as soon as he saw the email from Tony Stark, he deleted it without even opening the email to read all the things that Tony had done. Yeah, because
wasn't the subject like, hey, the bomb, or something?
Yes, like, hey, the bomb, do something. I got, you know, like, he was telling him what to do, basically, once again, and Bruce was not having it, so.
Right, and I like the added aspect of Iron Man not really knowing the why. He's trying to piece it all back together in his mind, but he was a drunk, and a bad drunk, which was always talked about in the comics.
Yeah.
So he can't really piece everything together, even though he knows the end result. He's like, yeah, I may have created the Hulk.
Right, I definitely tampered with the bomb.
I fucked shit up. Those are definitely my hands and this vision coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was happy
with it. And I'm also happy with, because of this book, the new Hulk is available to the world, which is the Hulk that is now just as smart as Bruce Banner.
Yes. Smart Hulk has always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad he's back. So that was a good one.
He outwits Tony the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if he wanted to, he could have ended him.
Oh, yeah. The smack to the face, remember that?
Yeah.
And I was like, that should have killed him. His head should have been off.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce Banner now, or the Hulk now, is smart enough to be able to hit him just hard enough to wake him up without snapping his neck in half.
Right. Exactly.
So...
I did like it ending with Tony kind of embedded in his armor, unable to do shit.
Yeah, just kind of stuck in there.
It was very good.
Yeah, so worth it to pick that one up as well.
Okay.
X-Men. So obviously Jubilee on the cover once again.
Yeah.
No shocker to anyone out there.
No, absolutely not.
As well she should be.
Yep.
I was actually excited about the way it started. With Rachel kind of going through this scenario where she's at this party with her dad and things are happening, and then she accidentally blows up her dad or grandpa, actually, not dad. Mm-hmm. And then these new villains that I don't know, do you know them? Show up?
I don't.
Don't. Okay. So obviously potentially future villains that we don't know about.
But I'm not a big X guy, so...
But I am, and I don't know them.
Okay.
So there I feel like they're going to be the new...
Or they're obscure.
Or they're obscure, yes.
Because I didn't read all of that Shi'ar bullshit.
I read most of it. But this is the good thing about this book, X-Men, right now. They're about to bring Shi'ar to the forefront again. So if you haven't been keeping up with the Shi'ar, now's the time to jump into X-Men and learn about what's going on. Because I don't understand why, but Rachel Gray's aunt is Deathbird.
Okay.
And all I know is that there's a third Summer's brother that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, what's his name's been driving around space all day having sex with every alien out there. So I'm sure there's another Summer's brother.
Sure.
Some alien Summer's brother out there. What's his name? Cortez?
I can picture him and I can't remember his name.
The Starjammer's captain.
Yes.
That's all. We all know. You know, you're angrily
jamming some stars.
Yeah, he's jamming some stars. So, what is your feeling about you made a great point.
All right, I'm not gonna say
it's a great point. It's just this is a
brilliant point. My only argument on the issue, and the issue's fine. I like the issue a lot. My only thing was Jubilee, as a vampire, has shielding from the sun. This little technology, right?
Yeah.
Why in fucking hell would you put her in a spaceship and blast her into outer space? Why would you risk it, her being close as fuck to the sun in comparison. What, is she going to be on the black side of the dark side of the moon the whole time? Why would you? Well, we're going into deep space. There's other suns and stars and things. I'm just saying.
It makes good sense. However, you have to understand.
I'm your friend. We probably shouldn't put you in a rocket and shoot you any closer to the motherfucking sun.
We can be pretty certain that...
Superman gets stronger when he goes out in space.
You just burn.
I'm just saying.
You just turn to ashes. I'm pretty certain that they had made all potential precautions ensure that Jubilee would be safe going into space.
I actually would have liked it better if she started, like, smoking or something. Like, fuck, we'll send you back. We're idiots. Like, that would have been awesome. Not that I don't want her on the mission or in the book, right, but, like, that would have been fantastic.
Right.
Give her those limitations.
And you also have to imagine as well that, or one of the things I like about this is that Cecilia Reyes is back.
Yes,
the
love
super
her.
She was hero.
She was your number one underrated,
yes.
And here she is.
Superhero without a name.
Yes. She'll get a name.
She'll get a name.
She needs to get, like, a scar or, like, a cool gun,
yes,
or a power of some kind.
Yeah. She has a power.
Well, an actual other power. She needs more power.
Just like Jubilee.
Pretty much.
No, and I really like the issue, and it was very family-oriented, talking about Rachel Gray and her aunt, Deathbird. Spoiler, because I like to do at least one spoiler.
Sure.
Deathbird is pregnant. So,
we'll
see what happens.
She got star jammed.
She got star jammed. Yes. Maybe by Star Lord.
Maybe. In a moment of weakness.
I was happy about that. I don't know who Guggenheim is, but the writer. Mm-hmm. But he's doing okay.
To follow Brian Wood, man, again, those are big steps to fill. So.
They are. All right, what do you got?
I'm going to give you a breather. I'm going to talk about a book I picked up.
Thank goodness.
And I Now, I have not been reading Guardians of the Galaxy.
Neither have I.
But it's an original Sin tie-in that definitely caught my interest because it's about the Richard Rider Nova. Mm-hmm. I love the Richard Rider Nova, the classic original Nova that's been around forever. And, I mean, he's your Hal Jordan of the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This book explains what happened with him. Where the fuck is he?
Mm.
It opens up with Gamora, who has kidnapped Star-Lord and tied him to a chair. And she's like, I'm not letting you go. No one knows where we are. I'm not letting you go until you answer these questions. You know where Nova is. Where is he? What happened with Thanos? Apparently, back when the Cancerverse, ironically, was around, they sacrificed themselves to keep Thanos there. Star-Lord,
uh-huh.
Richard Rider Nova.
Yes.
And Star-Lord, by the way, has the Cosmic Cube. That's how they're able to combat a Thanos-level threat. Drax the Destroyer also appears in this universe and helps them beat the living piss out of Thanos. Now, they do not completely in this issue reveal all the answers, but it is a great book where this universe is crumbling in on itself. Everybody's in hero mode where it's like, nah, it's cool, we'll die, it's fine.
Yeah.
We're gonna go beat the living fuck out of Thanos. Thanos the whole time is like, he's fighting back and defending himself, but the whole time he's like, give me the cube. You don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do more damage than good. Almost like a father figure, like, just give me the fucking cube. You don't know what you're doing, you're gonna cause damage, you're gonna hurt yourself, you don't know what to do with this power, just give it to me. And it's just back and forth jokes between Ryder and Quill, and they just alternate beating the piss out of Thanos. They really do a number on Thanos. Drax comes in, he does a number on Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And through the interrogation scenes, you really feel like Quill is hiding something more than he's letting on. And you're under the impression by the end of the issue that he may have just given the cube to Thanos. Because they should have died in that universe.
Right.
He came back. Drax is alive again, because apparently Drax was thought to be dead at this point. And he's alive. But Ryder hasn't appeared anywhere. So Gamora wants to know if Thanos died in there, and if Richard Ryder died in there. So, brilliant move, Marvel, putting him on the cover. It's the only reason I picked it up. Because Thanos is everywhere. As much as I love Thanos, I don't need another Thanos story that bad.
right. We can relax a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed the book a lot. It was basically just flashback kind of scenes. It was Quill and Nova most of the time. Mm-hmm. Gamora was there, but she really didn't do anything.
Right, just interrogation.
And I'm very curious to see the actual answer and what that means going forward for the Marvel Universe, because I love that version of Nova. Yeah, he's a fantastic character.
Nice. That's going to be awesome. And he is the father of the current Nova, right?
Sure.
All right.
It's funny because I don't know any of the current Nova stuff.
Yeah, neither do I.
Even though I read the original Sin Zero, I don't know who his dad is. I didn't pay any attention to that. I guess I should have done some background on Kid Nova, because I don't give a fuck about little Kid Nova.
Oh, boy.
But, yes. Let's say yes, and yes, he's still alive. In that case. Don't have to know everything, goddammit.
No, we don't.
Go ahead.
All right.
Bring us somewhere else.
So, we will go to my favorite book of the entire Marvel Universe.
What?
Yeah. It just barely beats X-Men.
What?
But it beats X-Men.
All right.
And Jubilee's amazingness. And that is Uncanny Avengers. Uncanny mother freaking Avengers. My favorite book of all time. Since issue one, since issue new number one, and everything else. It's been awesome. And it's lived up to everything that I've ever wanted out of a book. So, in this book, it's basically the aftermath of them killing Celestials, them dealing with
Kang,
Apocalypse's horsemen's roaming the earth, the beginnings of Red Skrull stuff happen. Red Skrulls,
it's going to happen.
I keep doing it every single time.
That's fine.
Captain America is already... Mm-hmm. Something already happened to him that happened in Original Sin that we haven't even got to yet.
Mm.
But it's already happened in this book.
Mm.
Wolverine's already about to die. Mm. All that's already happening in this book already.
Get with it, Marvel.
Get with it.
What the fuck?
But no, I'm glad, because it gives you, what's happening? Like, what's going on? And you don't know, and if you didn't know what's going on in Original Sin, you would have no idea what's happening right now with Captain America and Wolverine, so...
I do know what's going to happen to Captain America, though.
Yes. Well, if you didn't know, you will know in Uncanny Avengers.
Or now, when you spoil it.
That Captain America looks at least 80 to 90 years old now.
Correct.
That is the new Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was a good spoiler on that. I don't even remember Vision being around anymore, but apparently he's back.
Sure.
So, that's the thing. So, anyways, Rogue, Havoc, Sunfire, and Banshee was one of the horsemen at the time, they're all in stasis. And Beast and Vision have been spending all their time trying to heal them up. Havoc's face is half crushed and burned. Rogue has gone through the I absorbed every power in the entire world. I need to deal with that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have Simon Wonder Man in my body, and I can't get him out.
That's a problem.
Yes. Sunfire is basically the Age of Apocalypse Sunfire now.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely on fire all the time, and he has a new mask for a face. And then we have the Banshee. So, in order of just those, I'll just go through those four characters really quick, and then we can kind of move on from here. Havoc's face can't be restructured.
Nice.
It is, for now, permanently disfigured.
Okay.
Rogue can't get Simon Wonder Man out of her body.
Nope.
She's stuck in there. He's stuck in there. Sunfire is permanently stuck in fire mode. Although he's healthy and fine. And then Banshee, they decided that they cannot take him out of stasis ever.
Ever?
He's way too far advanced into the Apocalypse Seed, and it's deep in his body, and they don't see that any way of reverting him back to regular Banshee.
Wow.
So, it's really good. Of course, we all know that if you've been keeping up with the book, the Wasp and Havoc had a kid. Kang took the child, and that child is lost forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. So Janet, Wasp, and Scarlet Witch have been on a retreat this entire time that Havoc has been in the stasis, and she's been trying to get over it. It's pretty emotional, actually, at some point.
Sure.
She's like, I can't even say her name anymore. I can't even say it. Like, it's too emotional to say her name. So, long story short, It ends with Immortus coming back and saying, Havoc, Wasp, you can have your child back. All you have to do is conceive on the day that I tell you to conceive, and you'll have the exact same daughter that you had before. Hmm. But you have to conceive on this day.
Hmm.
However,
Havoc's in the stasis.
No, Havoc's out. He just his face is just crushed forever. So Wasp has to deal with that and love him still. However, none of this matters, this you having children shiznick and all that good stuff, because everything is about to get burned down and Earth is not going to make it because of the Red Skull. If you don't deal with him, you will never have a child because everyone will be dead.
Wow.
So, that's how it ends, and it's really good.
So that's your big lead into Axis, huh?
Uh-huh. It's a big lead into Axis. And man, oh man, this book just not great. The art on this one was weird. I didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. I don't care. This is one where I don't care what the artist does. So bring on all the artists that they want to bring on because I don't care about them. Because the story is just way too good.
Yeah, that art is pretty atrocious.
Yeah, it's just not my thing.
No, I agree. It's pretty awful.
But yeah, it's a great book. Pick it up. If you haven't picked it up, please pick it up because you are going to miss the Marvel event of the century.
Of this year.
If you don't pick up Uncanny Avengers.
One of four events this year. But maybe the good one.
Marvel's been busting out some great events lately.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
They're on the tear. DC's kind of boring.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
It is.
But hey, Future's End looks good and everything else, so... We got one more we're going to do.
More.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh, Wolverine Annual.
Yeah, man.
Wolverine Annual, number one.
This book came in, and I said, who the fuck ordered this book? And I said, oh, me and Leander ordered this book. I'm sure there was a reason. And there was.
It was Jubilee.
It was Jubilee.
I really like this book.
Mm-hmm.
I know you...
I enjoyed the book. Mm-hmm. I hated the art.
I also hate the art.
But I hate it on such a real level. I guess a bigger level than you.
Yeah, which is weird.
I know, I'm usually the forgiving one on art.
But I can't, because the story was written for me so well.
The story was very good. The story tied so many things together that didn't really need to. And, I mean, they could have just been a bullshit story, but they actually went the extra mile on
this.
They
did.
I thought
it
was really good.
What I got out of this book is that it was a whole father-daughter situation. But
camping
then the
trip.
Yep, but then it's the father-daughter and the grandchild is kind of how I see it, too. Like, it was more the grandchild and grandfather.
Right.
Even though it was also kind of Jubilee and, like, mother-son.
Sure.
I think it was more about the grandfather and the son and the grandson.
It's also about passing the torch.
Passing the torch, yep.
Which was really good.
And I'm glad Shogo was actually there for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he can, I'm sure, will never remember most of this stuff. But I think it was good that he was there and part of that situation.
There was a great moment where Wolverine holds him. And
he's
just kind of like, oh, the kid. Like, it's that he doesn't get, you know, that doesn't happen to Wolverine.
Right.
Like, hold a baby that you don't want to rip its head off.
Go. Right. And Jubilee's like, I can teach you how to change diapers. He's like, yeah, how about we don't do that? So, in general, Wolverine's still about to die.
Right.
He wants to make sure that Jubilee can take care of herself. So they take. So he takes her on a camping trip. And, of course, she brings Shogo because she's not going anywhere without Shogo.
Sure.
And wolves are there. Can you explain the wolves?
The wolves are the same wolves that he was a member of their pack in the Origins 2 miniseries. It is the same wolves. He goes and visits these wolves once a year, he says, and he's a member of their pack, and they welcome him back. At first, she felt like he was being attacked, but they were just playing because they were happy to see him. So he went back to the same wolves, and they're a character in of themselves in this book. Not to get too off topic with the other character of the book that was really fucking annoying to me, which was this human couple that the one has post-traumatic stress syndrome from war,
mm-hmm.
but he's a total douchebag.
And they were both in the military.
They were both in the military, and it's like...
But she was in the Air Force, and
I
he must have been in the...
I'm like, do I know these characters?
Right.
You're giving me so much backstory,
right.
but I don't give two fucks about them. The woman is dumb for being with this guy.
Yes.
It's almost like you're watching, like... a couple that you know in real life that you judge
secretly. That's what I feel like, yeah.
And I'm just like, I fucking hate this guy with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't fucking get murdered.
It's almost too real.
Almost. Like, this is my escape from reality. Don't put douchebags in my comics. But I digress. It was fine.
Yeah.
But basically, something happens where Shogo is thought to be in danger when Shogo is not in danger. And therefore, a lot of dumb things happen.
Yes.
And Wolverine ends up being shot.
Yes.
Which is a big deal now. But what's most important about the entire book is the passing of the torch.
Yes.
Jubilee. These wolves are following Wolverine the whole time through his inner monologue. He's like, oh, they stuck with me even though I'm hurt and I'm falling behind. And there's a part where she leaves Wolverine so she can go save Shogo, and the wolves follow her. And he's like, oh, they're not following me at all.
Right. There's a new alpha.
There's a new alpha in the pack.
And
so,
it's Jubilee.
Correct.
Yeah, I think it was a great story, and it was definitely the passing of the torch is basically the best way of saying that.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think one of my favorite moments in this book, I had to find it while you were discussing that part right there. Yes. So, obviously, they're in the woods, they're camping, and they're trying to... Wolverine's trying to be serious with Jubilee, saying, look, I may die soon. I'm old, and I can feel things when I wake up that I shouldn't be feeling, that I never used to feel. And he's like, you need to learn how to deal with yourself. And he says, he's like, I'm being serious right now. And she says, it's not like you're the first mutant to ever lose their power. And then he says, well, might be easier to take if all I lost was shooting light pops out of my fingers.
Yeah.
Her response was, hello, I fired Lumikinetic Explosive Light Blast. You must have me confused with Dazzler. And it was the funniest shit ever. Especially when you read the whole thing together. Right. It was the funniest moment
Jubilee
ever.
Had the best dialogue in any Jubilee book ever, even though the art was fucking atrocious.
It was atrocious.
And the human couple that they threw in
was
most fucking atrocious, too.
Yes, yes.
Probably more annoying than the art.
But I liked it. It was a good passing of the torch, and it was well worth the effort. So
yeah,
I think
it's so weird to
job.
Like a book this much that has two things in it that's super annoying.
Yes, yes, yes. So get past the art, get past that annoying couple, and you will
have
plot
a book. Device.
You will have a book that is worthy of Jubilee.
There you are. Well, that is it. We got to cut it there.
We got to cut it.
So thank you everybody for listening. CapesandScowlsPodcast.com. Check out our Facebook. Come by. We'll make pie. It'll be delicious.
It'll be awesome.
All right.
Lou will be back hopefully soon, and we'll do some DC stuff. Oh, God. Hello, roommate.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Boo!
Bye-bye.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me. What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash!